Reading from the Anchulila, chapter 1, 196. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tomara Shakti Vina Jivera Nahi Evani Tuma Shakti Diakayo Henu Anumani. Without your mercy, such poetic expressions would be impossible for an ordinary living being to write. My guess is that you have given him the power. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Mulatam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayascha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Govardhan. I'm at my little kutir at Govardhan now. Just coming back from Vrindavan. I'll stay here for a week for the Govardhan retreat. That's on the other side of Govardhan Hill in Jatipura. There's several towns around Govardhan Hill. There's the main town of Govardhan, and I'm near that. There's Radha Kund. There's Govinda Kund. And there's Jatipura. I think that's it. There's Govardhan, Radha Kund, Govinda Kund, and Jatipura. And they're all little spiritual cities, little towns. So they have their retreat there, and it's mostly a retreat of Harikatha. It's basically four lectures a day. In the morning for an hour, really early, before breakfast, Madhavananda speaks, and then Burijan Prabhu speaks for an hour and a half between 10 and 12:30 on something on the 11th canto. And then from 1 to 2:30, Satchinandana Swami will speak on the Govardhan Leela. And then in the evening, Burijan's wife, Jagatarini Mataji, she usually has some kind of dramatic reading on Krishna's pastimes from one of the Goswamis. And of course there's kirtan, and there's more and more. I mean, in the Japa retreat, there was 350 people. So it's nice to see old people. I know so many of the people. So I generally go to the Lori Johnson, Satchinananda Swami's lecture, and then come back to my place here at Govardhan. So it's nice. I do a lot of speaking, and it's certainly very relishable just to sit and to hear very realized souls. Burjan Prabhu himself said that a good class is when you learn one new thing. But generally during these classes, there's many, many beautiful points, and I generally write them down and try to share them with you. Right now we're in the Anchalila, the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Can someone just tell me that they hear me? I don't know, Super Souls, I'm not feeling the audio.
I'm efficient.
That's okay, good. Thank you. Okay, that's inspiring. So, we've been discussing this for a while, and Anchalila means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retiring to Puri to fulfill the internal reason for his descent, which is God's desire, Krishna's desire. He appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience the ecstasy of a devotee at the height of their love. God wants to experience love from the perspective of the devotee. I've explained this many, many times. So he's coming down to Puri to do this, to experience this vipralamba bhav, this mood of separation, where love is heightened. Specifically, Radha's mood of separation from Krishna. What is the sense of her love at that point? What is the height of her love at that point? And what does that love taste like? We're all seeking love. Because honestly and inherently, we know there's no other real happiness. We know if the heart's not filled with love, there's nothing that can satisfy one. A lonely person can have all the things in the world, but because they don't have love, they're not happy. And Vrindavan is the conception, not only the conception, the place of ultimate reality. I was just in Vrindavan. That's so nice being there and seeing the visiting pilgrims. Just the day before I left, I ran into my dear friends from Iran, specifically the lady and her daughter who I gave my Mahaprabhu deity. And walked her and her friend, just met them spontaneously. I was walking and I saw them. Cranky Shores Farm, about less than a 10-minute walk, where a friend of mine is trying, and really trying to show the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, not just in heart, but how it's lived. And he has a farm, and he just built a beautiful temple on the farm. He has beautiful deities. And that's how Krishna consciousness is lived. It's lived with God in the center. And naturally, when God's in the center and you want to please God, you have to give God what God likes. And what does God like? God likes cows and he likes milk. What a beautiful conception. So he has God, and then for God, he has cows. And it's so apparent, the connection. He promised when he was worshiping Govardhan, if I am allowed to take you, I will always supply you with milk. Anyway, Vrindavan means love. It means there is a world where everything moves for love. The ultimate reality is a movement to please. To please what? To please the ultimate reality, which is Krishna. And therefore, in Vrindavan, wind is not just blowing haphazardly. The wind is blowing to please. It means that everything is conscious. And what is the perfection of consciousness? The perfection, the fulfillment of consciousness is love. So spiritual world is consciousness in love. And therefore, if there's wind, it's consciously moving to please Krishna by offering fragrance, by passing through the flowers, and carrying fragrance, or passing through the lakes of water and carrying droplets of water. It's moving to please. It's a conscious reality that's moving to please that conscious reality, which is Krishna. And when you're in that reality, you feel everything is love. Anyway, back to the story. So we're up to the part of the story where one devotee comes to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the rainy season. And the Indian seasonal structure, being Punya Bhumi, originally India was known as Punya Bhumi, the land of piety, the land of spirituality. And the life was spirituality. So it was agrarian-based economy, and the rains would come regularly. They still do. And there is a monsoon or rainy season. And in an agrarian economy, nothing can be done during those times. And people just take those times to the 4 months of the rainy season, Chaturmasya, for spirituality. I was reflecting, because I'm giving class every day in Vrindavan, I was reflecting in America how oppressive life is when you don't like your work and you only get 2 weeks vacation a year. Practically from the day you begin your vacation, you're counting the days, not counting, but lamenting the days when it will end. So here it was 4 months, and just before the rainy season, and this is historical, the devotees would go to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for that Sangha, to associate with a heart of beauty and love. We want that. that hunger. This is the result of deep, deep, deep spiritual practice. The result of deep, deep spiritual practice should be sangha. It should be the opportunity for association for those people more advanced than oneself, with a mood of spirituality which one can identify with, whom we can have a loving relationship with. And that's the greatest result of any pious activity, to associate with one who's evolved in consciousness, whose life and teachings can touch our heart. The goal of spiritual life is to hear, chant, remember, and worship Krishna. That's the goal of spiritual life. And to do it always. If the perfection of consciousness, the fulfillment of consciousness is love, and the deepest expression of love is kirtan, or glorification, and the way to fill one's heart is glorification, then the conclusion of any spiritual teachings is that we should always chant, hear, remember, and worship Krishna always. And that will fill our heart with love. That will perfect our consciousness. That is the conclusion of the Bhagavata. But the question is how to get to that point, how to get to that glorious, wonderful point where if your heart is not yet filled with love, you so much want that love of God that you're always calling and hankering for it. What can be more wonderful than that? And what could satisfy the heart more than that? But what to do if we're not at that level, even after hearing about it? Well, the Bhagavatam answers that question, Shushushro Shradhanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Syat Mahat Sevana Vipra Punya. You get the Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. You get the taste for glorifying God. You get the taste for the perfection of consciousness. The perfection of consciousness is love. Is devotion, is bhakti. And the symptom of bhakti is glorification. A taste for that. Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. So how do you get that? Well, the Bhagavatam says you associate with devotees who have that. And by associating with devotees who have that, just by serving those devotees, two things happen by serving those devotees. Service means to take their desire, which is itself is love of Godhead. And it means to get their association and observe them and become attracted to them. Because there is nothing more beautiful than a heart full of love which expresses that love in kirtan and glorification of God always. So therefore, naturally,
We want to be with those people. We want to serve those people. And therefore, we make endeavor to be with them. And therefore, what's the thief of God, who's in the form of a devotee, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How much the people who are evolved in bhakti and are aspiring for bhakti, how much they want to be with him. And the proper culture affords that opportunity. So they go for 4 months and they go to Puri. Now that they've heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is settling there. So right now we're on the story of Rupa Goswami meeting Lord Chaitanya. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami, is instrumental in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to give the love that he himself is aspiring for to the world. Anarpi ta charim charat kununiya vatir na kalo samarpi atam unatoj vala rishab swabhakti swayam. Swabhakti unatoj vala rishab. Splendid rasa of bhakti. Special bhakti. Braja bhakti. Vrindavan bhakti. Anarpita charim charat kuruneya. By his mercy, he's given this, which is never before given. And how will he give it? He will give it through one who has understood his heart fully and who's capable of expressing it to others. And that's Rupa Goswami. So we're at the part of the thing where Lord Chaitanya hears his incredible poetry and is just himself overwhelmed with the depth of its real, the depth of the realization in which it expresses, and the height of poetic ability, poetic ornament, poetic talent in which it's expressed. And we're at the part where he calls all his main devotees to hear this, and specifically one of his intimate associates, one of his most confidential associates, Ramananda Roy, himself is a poet, and we were in that dialogue, as you remember. And Ramananda Roy is asking him about his poetics, his drama, and the technicalities of it, the verses. And we've been hearing verse after verse, Rupa Goswami reluctantly, because remember, what spirituality means, the difference between spirituality and material consciousness is what dictation rules your life. It's as simple as that. If it is born from your ego, your desire to control and enjoy, you are in the material platform and you have created the material, you have attracted the material world. If the dictation is coming from God through the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastras, either the desire is coming from God, coming from that higher realm, or your desires have been sanctioned by that realm, then that's spiritual. Anyway, Ramananda Roy is hearing this, specifically hearing this poetry. And he says, it's beyond kavitva. Kavi means poetry, the nature of poetry. It's a shower of nectar because of the subject that it expresses, which is bhakti ras, which is parama prema rup, which is the nature and the form of the highest love, perfectly expressed. But not only that, simultaneously, it is sabha siddhanta sar. It is the essence of all ultimate realizations. And one who hears it these expressions of the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, Maya Chitad Apasrayam, Apashat Purusham Purnam, that ultimate absolute reality, Krishna, exchanging with his own energies, rasa, by saha, this love, these wonderful descriptions to express this, hearing this, one will enter into a whirlpool of transcendental bliss. If you hear this, you will feel this. And what will you feel? You'll feel the ultimate reality, which is bhakti rasa, which is the height of happiness because it is the height of intense love, a love which we cannot even conceive. Beyond the atom of infatuation that we may have experienced, which is really not love, it's about ourselves. But a sense of giving, a sense of giving oneself, a sense of true love that is overwhelming transcendental bliss. So Ramananda Roy is appreciating this so deeply. And he's listening to this poetry that he turns to Lord Chaitanya and says, Tomara Shakti Vina. Without your Shakti, without your empowerment, Sarvasya Chaham Hidisani Vishto Matasmitir Ganam Apohanam Cha. Without your power, Jivera Nahi Evani, these words, an ordinary person, a Jiva, could not write such words. An ordinary Jiva neither could understand the depth of this Vraja Vilas Prema Ras, the love of these pastimes of Krishna and his devotees. They will neither be able to understand it, nor will they be able to have the ability to express it so perfectly and encapsulate it so perfectly. So therefore, Ramananda Roy's conclusion is, Anumani, I guess, Shakti Diya, you are giving this. It's your Shakti, Lord Chaitanya. You have empowered them. You've empowered Rupa Goswami to understand and express your heart. Even in an ordinary sense, you cannot understand and express another person's heart until that person has given you their heart. He's saying, it's your Shakti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies, I met Rupa Goswami at Prayag. And he attracted and satisfied me by his qualities. And what qualities? His faith expressed through his service, his love. His love. His selflessness. His giving of himself in love, which is the most beautiful heart. The selfless heart is beautiful. The selfish heart is noxious, obnoxious. He's attracted me by his qualities. He's won my heart. How do you win someone's heart? You give yourself fully to them. And if you give yourself fully to one, who is loving, they will give themselves fully to you. And this is the essence of bhakti. We advance by mercy. Something comes beyond our ability to earn it, beyond our qualification to attain it. How does it come? In relationship. In fact, I believe, yes, it's this purport where Prabhupada says that. Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of God, it is not partial to some and neutral to others. One can actually draw the attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by service. Then one is further empowered by the Lord to act in such a way that everyone can appreciate his service. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.11. Yeyata mam papadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. And then Prabhupada said, Krishna is responsive. This is our hope. This is our hope. That the ultimate reality is responsive. And all we have to do is give ourselves to the ultimate reality. And what is standing in the way? The mountain called our ego. to desire to be the center ourselves. If one tries, and therefore, if your life is based on the inner dictation of the ego, what a shift that we require in spiritual life, by God's mercy. I'm reading a book, Divinity, I think it's called Divinity and Divine Service. It's about the teachings of Bhakti Lakshaka Sridhar Maharaj. And it's very, very beautiful. And he's telling a story about Bhakti Siddhanta, that one sannyasi went on pilgrimage. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was upset. So he told Srila Sridhar Maharaj, when he returns, don't let him back into the mud. Sridhar Maharaj was much junior, but he was given that order. So he was in a great dilemma. So when that person came back, I wish I could remember the whole story, but no. But somehow he had to say that, and then somehow the person did get the realization. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj was understanding Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Nothing is accepted if it's coming from the wrong platform. Now again, our desires can be sanctioned if they are required to keep the mind and body together for the higher endeavor of self-realization. And much of what we do will be born of our own desires. But when one is surrendered to Guru and Krishna, everything is sanctioned from that higher realm, and it's spiritualized. But he understood that what the sannyasi, he was acting independently. And he was a sannyasi. Which means what? There's three dandi. There's four dandas, actually. There's one represents the jiva. And then the three dandas represent to serve with mind, body, and words. So that's the vow of sannyas, complete renunciation. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he expected integrity. And this is the basis of spiritual life, is honesty. You remain true to your duties and to your vows. Not everyone has the same one. But in his mat, this was sannyas. He was supposed to be completely renounced. Renounced what? From what? Of the dictation of the ego. So he didn't accept that. Tesham satityuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam. Dami Buddhi Yogam Tvam Yena Mamupyate. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his special favor upon Rupa Goswami because Rupa Goswami wanted to serve the Lord to the best of his ability. He wanted to serve the Lord to the best of his ability. Such is the reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord in the discharge of devotional service through duties. 1.198. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised the metaphors and other literary ornaments of Srila Goswami's transcendental poetry. Without such poetic attributes, he said, there's no possibility of preaching transcendental mellows. Rasera Puchar. You can't preach about love devotion, love of Godhead, any sentiment, what to speak of bhakti rasa, you can't express it without kavitva, without poetic qualifications. So without the poetry of Rupa Goswami, we would have no idea. How would we gain access? How would we understand? What is the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is bhakti rasa? How would we understand it? That's what he's saying, and that's why Srila Rupa Goswami is so important. First, it says, because of his ability to serve, and it's not only his ability to serve, which was pure, the ability to serve, which means two things. The ability to serve means two things. It means the desire to serve and the capacity to serve in a particular way. He is to rasera prachar. He's to communicate love of Godhead. So he has kavitva, poetic qualification. So he has both the purity to gain the realization and the talent to express it. And that's why there's such a focus, because this is Lord Chaitanya's internal mission. And who's going to communicate that to us? It's Srila Rupa Goswami. And if you want to understand it, you have to go through him. This is why at the very beginning, the second meeting of Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya, this is the second meeting. The first was in Prayag, where he got the fundamentals of Krishna consciousness. It is so important now, entering into the Antya-lila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all his associates to bless Rupa Goswami so that he might continuously describe the pastimes of Krishna. Raja Leela Prema Rasa, Raja Leela Prema Rasa, which are full with this love of Godhead. So, not only did he have the devotion, and not only did he have the ability to express it, but he also requires the blessings of the Vaishnavas. You require to actually be successful in spiritual life and in your service the petition of the devotees who love God to God. To seek his blessings. And that is the test that you're sincerely trying to serve God. And it's not just a reflection of your ego to use spirituality to position yourself in a position of enjoyment and control. Blessings of the Vaishnavas. Because we may all have great inspiration, but it may be mixed with ego. Well, is it or not? We'll get the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So now, it's going to be incredible what's going to come up, because we're going to see how much Lord Chaitanya wants, blesses Rupa Goswami by giving the shelter to devotees. And then there'll be an amazing description, because he's going to tell Ramananda Roy, this is Rupa, but his brother. His brother is so amazing that he has Sanatan, he's going to tell him, your brother is so amazing that he has renunciation and learning and humility also. Even though he has such incredible renunciation and so much knowledge, he's so deeply situated in Guru and Krishna and seeking that inspiration from above. That nothing feeds his ego. It's so easy to feed your ego with good qualities. The great devotee, nothing can feed his ego because he's self-realized. He understands that he's pure Krishna conscious, he's pure awareness. And whatever comes to serve God is the grace of God. It's not the constitution of one. Okay, one second here. Would anybody like to ask a question or say hello? I unmuted everyone, so anybody wants to say hello, they can say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Who's that? Henry.
It's Henry.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
That's Gail.
Yeah, I do have a question, actually.
Okay.
You mentioned something that reminded me of a question that I had. You're saying that we can act, you know, for the body, you know, for the ultimate purpose of keeping our body and soul together for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. And we all have different things that we need to do in order to do that. You know, depending upon our level of detachment from the body. And so what I'm wondering is, for a person who understands the goal of life and aspires for the goal of life, but nevertheless is still so attached to the body that they cannot give up all the fruits of their activities to Krishna. Some they can give up, but some they have to, you know, keep for themselves. And so what I'm wondering is, for such a person who needs to keep some fruits for themselves, but is nevertheless aspiring for perfection in their servitude to Krishna, does that person, when they are keeping some of those fruits for themselves, are they incurring karma?
Well, you have your quota. If you take more than your quota, yes. And God determines what the quota is. You know, sannyasi, there's no quota for sex life. Grihastha, there is a quota for sex life, you know, and same thing with renunciation. And, you know, so it really depends. And it's a, you know, there's prescribed duties. And that's different people. And different people, different vows. have different responsibilities and different natures. You know, and so it's, you know, and therefore, there's a general social culture that dictates these are the responsibilities and duties of people in different orders, etc. And if one is surrendered to Guru and Krishna, if there's any confusion, then one asks, who is their authority? You know, not in an oppressive way. The main thing of humility is where the dictation of your life is born from. Is it born from the ego or from the pleasure of God? To understand that, generally have representatives who link with and let us understand and know and guide us in terms of like a child, as his parents, gurus, they have mentors, they have partners. Now, there's different ways. There's government. There's different responsibilities in this culture, and therefore, in spiritual life, it says, "Acharyamam bijanayam navamanye dekarsha." I should accept the acharya as my very self, and who's the acharya, and who's representing God? It's people who present God in different ways, even from the parents. And in a proper culture where people are qualified to represent God, it's so instilled in people to have that culture of seeking shelter and guidance. And that kind of piety that I'm not simply wanting to independently rule my life from impulses, but I'm seeking that piety and bring us to bhakti. Whole Von Ashram system creates that kind of social culture so that when you do meet a sadhu, you will have the inclination to surrender.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I had understood all that, but I'm asking more specifically, if a guru sanctions you to keep a certain quota for yourself, I don't know, let's say you made $100.
Guru can mean not just a spiritual teacher, but anyone representing a higher sense of knowledge and understanding. Okay, but if that's sanctioned, yes?
Yeah, if says by the fruit of your work you have made $100.
Then there's no karma. There's no karma. Because
it's not
born.
That you can keep for yourself, there's no karma.
No, because you have a quota.
Okay.
If you get your quota, where's the karma?
Okay.
That's the second verse of the Isha Upanishads. Tiptena Bhunjita. Everyone who has a quota by God.
Mm-hmm.
And don't take more than your quota, otherwise it's karma.
Right. Yeah, that's what I would have thought, but I needed confirmation. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Anybody else like to say hello?
Yes, Maharaj, this is Katya. Thank you so much.
Who is that?
This is Katya speaking. Katya. From Moscow.
Katya, from Moscow.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
That's it.
Yes, this is
so
me.
Much.
Thank you so
Very
much.
Wonderful to hear you.
It's wonderful to
wonderful.
Hear you. It was so inspiring. Thank you so much for the class. I'm very happy.
Thank you, Katya. You wrote me that you would come on. Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
I have follow-up questions if you have time. Do you have time for the follow-up question? Mother Gail, I understood, you know, the question is about the karma. Isn't that, you know, fue on the...
One second.
Hello?
Nandadula, wait 1 second. Nandadula?
Can you unmute your phone? Did I lose you?
Hello, Mara?
Yeah.
Mara?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, my follow-up question is, I'm sorry that, you know, I have to keep you delaying. The question is about the karma, the second verse of Upanishad, that I understood. But isn't that in the devotion, like aparabdha phalam papam kutum bijam phalam mukham kramena vipraliyete vishnu bhakti ratatmanam?
What's your question?
My question is that, if the devotees, they surpasses karma by, executing devotional service. That's in the Vishnu Puran that mentions this verse.
What that means is, there's no karma if the activity is not born out of your ego. And bhakti means that your activity is not born out of your ego.
Okay.
Bhakti means it's born out of the desire, it's the will of God. It's the desire of God which comes through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And your own desire to love them. Yeah, so of course there's no... How can there be karma in bhakti? Because you're not initiating the activity for selfish reasons, which is the essence and root of karma. Yes. And when you do things out of bhakti, everything is uprooted. All karma is uprooted. Thank you, Nandadula.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhakti Das.
Jai Govardhan, Hare Krishna. Good. Anybody else like to say? Is that Indrani Mataji?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you.
I thank you for these classes. I thank you for today's class. I feel like that's so much to contemplate and meditate on. This one was a doozy. I'm all choked up, so I know it's something I needed to hear. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother and Johnny. So nice to hear from you. I was reflecting the other day in my class, telling the time where I was able to take you to Govardhan Hill with Bali and some of your other godbrothers. And then we went to Radha Kund, and they carried you down to Radha Kund. Bali and I forgot the other, I think it was Brahmabhutta. They carried you down to Govardhan Hill, to Radha Kund, and then it rained. And then the panda there said that when it's, because you couldn't bathe because you barely could walk. You know?
Yes.
Boy, that was about 10 years ago, and you were old then. What to speak of now? And the panda said that when it rains at Radha Kund, it's raining Radha Kund. So somehow you got your Radha Kund bath because it rained. I remember that. Hey, thank you, Mother. Thank you, Mother and Johnny.
Thank you.
Anybody else like that? Say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Jenny Green from New York.
This is Hey again?
Tiffany.
Hear you?
From New York.
Oh, Tiffany, wow. Thank you. Great. You're listening to the class. It's great.
Yeah. Hi, Bo. Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you. Huh?
Well, thanks. Thank you, and visit us soon here in Vrindavan. Okay?
Definitely. I'll be there soon. Haribo.
Okay. Haribo. Wonderful. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end here now. Vanchukopa to this new video.